Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So, we hear and read of so many miraculous things in the world, don't we? These amazing healings and things like that. And I think we need to be a more expectant group of believers. I'm reading a book at the moment called Rousing the Warriors by Steve Uppel. It's a great book. I think maybe we ought to all read it at the same time and see where we end up. But he says he believes we're a generation of believers almost conditioned not to expect demonstrations of God's power. That's quite a sad place to be, I think. We don't need to limit God in at all. Because we see God's power every day. And in this church, we've seen it hundreds and thousands of times. The thousands of examples of God's power working. I think particularly to one service a couple of years ago. I know this going back a bit now, but we invited the Holy Spirit to work amongst us. And quite a few people spoke in tongues. And Mike Bellum was given the interpretation straight away to one tongue that was spoken. And he said, I was so struck by it that I got the tape of the service and went back and typed out what he'd said to us. And it's not, I thought I've not asked Mike Bellum about this, but I don't need to ask Mike Bellum. This was God speaking through Mike Bellum. And he said, "My children, you have heard how my spirit is open for you. But my children, you have to be willing to sacrifice your own will for my spirit to come in and to move unfettered among you. I have asked you to do a great thing, my children. My children, I have not left you powerless. My word tells you that my spirit is here to move among you. But you have to put aside your fear. I, your Lord, your God, will not do anything within you that is evil, will not do anything within you that endangers you. But I give you my spirit to help you do that which I have called you to do. And now, my children, open yourselves to receive that gift of power that flows through my throne of grace." And that is word for word what Mike Bellum said. And I don't know whether Mike Bellum's a particularly erudite, you know, chap, but you know, that to me was God speaking through Mike. We've got, I've not asked Jan Paveley this, but years ago, Jan Paveley was sat at the back of the church, and she was unable to move one day because she just felt God's hands, just arms around her, just holding her. And I'm sure we've all got amazing stories like this. Only this week, on Monday, I've had a really, really tough week with work. I don't know whether you know, I only work part-time now, so in my proper job. So I work Monday to Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday, I'm trying to establish this, the care farm. So what happens on Wednesday is sort of how I leave things until Monday when I get back into the office. And I'd got a big meeting with EDF, the energy company, on Wednesday. And I knew I got a big one in London on Monday afternoon. And I said to the guy from EDF, "Is there anything I need to do to prepare for this meeting on Monday?" And he said, no, it's a start-up meeting. Just rock up, turn up, you'll be fine." So Monday morning, I open my emails, and there was an email from the guy who'd organised the meeting that he actually sent on Thursday. So he thought he'd give me plenty of time. But he said, "Mike, please can you read the attached report and come prepared for the meeting to lead the discussions on your technical discipline." 210 pages this report was, and between 9 o'clock opening the email at home, I'd got to drive to Peterborough and then get a train from Peterborough to London for a 3 o'clock meeting. So my window to read this report was pretty narrow, and Lisa will tell you, I was a bit of a wreck. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. And we prayed together, and I set off in the car off to Peterborough. And I was just about to press the button to turn the stereo on in the car. And just before I did it, I said, "Lord, please speak to me through whatever I hear in this song." And as soon as I pressed the button, the words I heard was halfway through the sentence, and it was from "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." And it was, Oh, the weary work long day. One that made the starlit heavens travels in the boat with you. That was the first thing I heard. And that just told me that whatever I was going to face, God was with me. And I'm taking him into that meeting with me. And so God does perform amazing signs, miraculous wonders. And we should be full of awe. And let's just trust him more. Let's be more open to him and listen to him. So next slide, please. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. That's quite a tall order in today's society. They sold their possessions and gave to everyone as they had need. I think our society is, I don't know, we suffer from greed. It's a sort of survival of the fittest mentality. This feeling of self-preservation, and all those things are totally against that, you know, what the example that, of the early church. A few weeks ago, Paul spoke on Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And I read a little extract from a daily devotional I'm going through at the moment, and he talked about a match. If you strike a match in the daytime, you can hardly see it, can you? But if you strike the match at night, when it's pitch black, you can see that light from miles around. And I think in our ever-increasing dark world, that light that we can shine of Jesus is going to be seen. And Jesus calls us to do good deeds, as I've just read. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we don't need to be doing good things for our own glory. We're not seeking any, seeking thanks, but we are doing it for Jesus. Jesus says, I don't know the scripture, but you know, when you go and see the sick or visit the prisoner or feed the hungry, you're doing it for me. And so that's what God is calling us to do. And we talked over the last month, haven't we, about church and what it means to be church and doing our bit within the church and helping this thing to function. And I think that is really important, and I really encourage us all to do our bit within this church. But I think what's more important is the external image we project and what we do on the outside. Because that's where we're judged by others, on our deeds. And I just challenge us, are we doing enough to help our communities, the poor and the vulnerable? I'm pretty certain of those three political parties that we saw up on the screen, I don't think any of them are particularly bothered about helping the marginalised, or they might do to win political favour. But I don't think the world's going to look after the poor. But I think as a church, we need to be rising up. We need to stand and be the leader in social care. And so I encourage you, I challenge you, what might God be challenging you to do in your community, in Bromsgrove, to show God's love in this world. Next slide. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. Right, I'm going to ask Jill Allardyce if you should kindly come up and join me now, because God's been laying something on Jill's heart over the last few weeks or months, and I think it's very relevant to that. Jill?
Well, I wonder if your week has been amazing. Obviously, Mike, you've had trauma in your week, but it was amazing as well. And I've had an amazing week. I've been praying hard since Christmas, since the new sermon series that we've had. asking God to show a way that I could do something that would be relevant to us as church. And I firmly believe that the more we pray, the more we open our hearts, the closer to God we become, and the more blessings we receive. That's how it seems to me. So I've been praying, and all this week God has been blessing me and confirming what I came to realise. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the company of some dear friends, and it came to me, the answer to my question that I'd been asking God over the last few weeks. So I spoke to Paul and Mike, and when he said that he was talking from Acts 2, I thought, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. That was another one. So where it says, they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. What I've asked for and what God has revealed to me is an invitation. It's an invitation to everyone over the age of 70. Now, I'd like to extend it to all, but at this moment, it'll be for the people over the age of 70, people who would like an afternoon out, something to look forward to. We'd like to ask you if you'd like to come to visit us in our homes, whether you're a couple or a single, men or women, it makes no difference, but over 70 for now. Would you like to come and visit us in our home so that I can give you afternoon tea? We can chat together, we can pray together, we can read the word and enjoy some nice little sandwiches and scones and cakes. Because that's what I like to do, and that would bless me as well. It would be my way of showing God's love to you, if you'd like to do that. I'm not going to come around and badger anybody, that's not the point. But if you'd like to come and let us love you in this way, then we'd be very happy. And again, we'd say, thank you, Jesus. The way I see it working is, if you come to me at the end and I put your name down on a list, I can then fill in one of these cards. I made these last night. Just fill in a little card, give it to you and let you know when it is. Because obviously our home isn't enormous, so I won't be having everybody together. We'll have little groups. And then once you put your name down, you just wait for me to give you a card. Transport will be provided if you need it. And hopefully we'll have a great time and we can praise God together. So I'll wait for you to put your name down if you'd like to come. Also, the invitation is for people who are outside at the moment. I think of Dorothy Cross and Betty Burton and Margaret Rogers and Renee over the road and anybody else that you know that I haven't remembered. If you'd like to invite them and they would like to come, just let me know. It's as simple as that. And then we'll take it from there. I've got lots of ideas, but we'll start small. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Jill. Bless you. Sounds wonderful, that. You could extend that to people who are nearly 40, right? Right. Can I have the next slide, please, Greg? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the sort of denouement, isn't it? It's the, as we've seen previously, the early church were devoted. They were expectant. They were selfless. They were united together. They were sincere. And all those things, all those attributes, results in God's blessing. And we know God only blesses things that He's pleased with. And He was pleased with what was happening there. And that's our example that I think we need to be following. In previous previous verses in that chapter, actually, we read how 3,000 people were added to their number in one day after they listened to Peter speaking. And so you might be think that these things are a bit internal focus. They're they're all about us in church and doing things together. But what the example of this shows, that when we do that right, we are an example and an attractive proposition to people outside. People can see what we've got, and they want some of it as well. And I just wanted us to play one little video clip now, Craig. And this guy, he speaks really quickly. If you could pause it
for
me.
So we can go.
Yep. He speaks really quickly, and it's American, and you might not take in all the words, but just try your hardest to hear what he's saying. Craig, can you?
Entered the Muslim quarter of Old Jerusalem, and Todd began praying for people, and they started to get healed left and right. So they brought others up to us, and soon a crowd had gathered.
I want to be known as somebody that loves, somebody that's passionate. It's about compassion. It's about the passionate heart of God for people. We got to stop trying to manipulate people, maneuver them into praying our prayer, and start to just become love. Not pointing out the trash, but pulling out the goodness that people are. Come on, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, not imputing the world's trespasses against them. Come on, but reconciling people back to the Father. That's the ministry that we have. If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you have, bro.
So we kept going, and we entered the Muslim quarter of Old Jerusalem, and Todd began praying for people, and they started to get healed left and right. So they brought others up to us, and soon a crowd had gathered.
I want to be known.
Let's play it again. Come on.
Passionate. It's about compassion. It's about the passionate heart of God for people. We got to stop trying to manipulate people, maneuver them into praying our prayer, and start to just become love. Not pointing out the trash, but pulling out the goodness that people are. Come on, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, not imputing the world's trespasses against them. Come on, but reconciling people back to the Father. That's the ministry that we have. If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you have, bro.
Art. So we kept
it. The message is sinking in. Sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it works too well. But that last line really struck with me. If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you've got. And that's, we're not attractive to other people around the world. It's Christ within us that attracts other people. And if they can't see that within us, they're not interested. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to live a life for you. Help us to radiate your love as a witness to other people around us. Lord, help other people to see you through us. And we pray that we might be attractive to other people. And Father, I pray that we can reach out to other people's physical needs. We can meet people where they're at. And Lord, through that, we can then start to minister to their emotional and to their spiritual needs. Lord, we just ask that you will work powerfully through us. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. Right, if the worship group would like to join me again, we're going to continue our worship through song. And we're going to sing the song, Everyone Needs Compassion, which has that line, shine your light and let the whole world see.